It's a great privilege to have our pastor's couple from Shofar Bloemfontein here this morning, Alistair and Hester. They came to do a hike from Kaimouth to Gunubi. And they said, well, you're here, come and preach and come and bless us. So it's a great honor to have you here. Alistair and me, we were both in the running to become the pastors of this church in 2008. And I won that first race, praise Jesus, but he got an upgrade to Bloemfontein, so that's where the glory is actually at. And Alistair and Hester, they're amazing people, and Alistair is a 150% man. He does everything full on. Okay, so we're going to be blessed this morning, so please stand with me, put our hands together for Alistair and welcome him here. Amen. We open our hearts to receive.
Amen. Are you ready this morning? Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord? Greetings from the church in Bloemfontein, your family in the Free State. You know, they say, why was Jesus not born in Bethlehem in the Free State? Why was he born in Bethlehem there in the Middle East? You couldn't find three wise men in the Free State, okay? But praise Jesus, he uses the foolish things of the world to put to shame that which is wise. So God is doing awesome things in Bloemfontein, amen? He's doing awesome things in South Africa. He's doing awesome things in East London. I see an army rising up here, amen? See an army of mighty men and women standing up. And it's just amazing to be back after 8 years ago, basically. Esther and I came to preach here just for three Sundays. And Dion and Kuaba were here. And I think, is Sandra here somewhere? She not here now, but I think the rest of you guys are all new since then, but the pioneers were amazing just to stick through, and then Andre and Sonica came and just added so much momentum, and God is just doing amazing things. I'm just hearing awesome stories of what God is doing. You guys have got amazing leaders, amen? I think you should just give them a hand. They're just awesome. Andre and I recently spent some time together in London. And it was a life-changing experience for me, really. It was one of the most amazing times. It was supposed to be a mission, but there was so much impartation into my life. And even Andre prayed for me and Heinrich, Pastor Heinrich from Somerset West. And I just had so much impartation. I was so encouraged by what God is doing all over the world. Amen. And this morning, I want to encourage you guys to stick with what God is doing in your life. Amen. I want you to stay with it, and I trust that you'll be encouraged this morning, that you'll be challenged a little bit as well, but that you'll be encouraged because we are part of a massive, massive end-time harvest. Amen. In fact, this morning I want to talk about this army, but I just want to share with you what the vision is of the movement that we are part of, and it's so small compared to this massive, massive army that God is busy raising up throughout the nations. The vision of Empower 21, and maybe you know it, but I'll just say to you it again, but it's that every person on earth would have an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, .. by Pentecost 2033. I'm going to read that vision again. That every person on earth would have an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit by Pentecost 2033. What an awesome vision. What an amazing vision, and we as Shofar also form such a small part of this massive movement of churches all over the world, and even Empower 21 forms a small part of God's huge, huge end-time army that he's busy raising up. And we can be a part of that, and you know, I'm seeing young people, you know, if you're on the campuses of this country, you see young people rising up, young people wanting to be part of something great, isn't it so? Young people want to be part of something so much greater than themselves. In fact, all of us have got a desire to be part of something so much greater than ourselves. And the good news for us this morning is there's an invitation for all of us, young and old, white or black, male or female, slave or free. Doesn't matter who you are, there's an invitation for every single person to be part of this end-time army that God is raising up. In fact, there's an invitation to be a history maker. I love that song by Delirious. You know, I'm going to be a history maker in this land. Okay, I can't sing so well as Andre. Apparently, Andre sings quite well. You know, he sings to his wife in church. Amazing. Miracles are happening in East London. But you see, there's that song that says, I'm going to be a history maker in this nation, in this town, in this city. There's an invitation for all of us to be history makers. And I just see that the enemy is also trying to come in to steal from us. Isn't that so? But you know, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up the standard against him. Isn't that so? And I see the enemy is trying to distract. He's trying to destroy. He's trying to divide churches. He's trying to get people depressed, hopeless, and lack, you know, missing their focus, missing their calling. But you know what? At the same time, God is raising up a standard against them. And you know who that standard is? It says the Spirit of God is raising up a standard. I believe that standard is us, the church. We can be part of something so much greater. And I believe the Lord God of the universe is inviting all of us to be part of his end time army. I don't know if you guys know what army guys and girls look like. Anyone seen someone in the army? There's a certain sort of thing about these people when you look at them. The first one is they seem to be so courageous. They seem to have this bravery about them. They've signed kind of their lives away. Isn't that so? When you see an army person, you think respect. Amen. You think, yo, this guy, his life doesn't belong to him. The second thing you see is they're in this uniform. You notice the uniform. And I know girls love guys in uniforms. Isn't that so? My brother was in the Royal Marines in England. He fought in Iraq in 2000, and, I think it was 2003 or 4 around there, the big war in Iraq. He fought there, but he was part of the Royal Marines. He fought for the Queen, a South African fighting for the Queen of England. But you know, he was part of this amazing army, and when you see these guys, they just dressed so smartly, and there's some identification about them. There's something when you see army people, you see that they're identified by a certain uniform. Isn't that so? So they've got courageous hearts. They're determined to serve their leaders and their nations. They've got an identification. They're always neat and presentable. They look the part. Isn't that so? And then they're always ready to carry out commands. They're always ready to do whatever is needed to be done. So we can learn something from army people. And I believe God is calling us to be part of his army. God is calling us to be part of this end time army. And so I want to look this morning at just three things. I want you to just remember three things this morning that I trust that you'd be encouraged this morning. Three things that this end time army of God looks like. And I'm just going to read a story to you quickly here because it's about this guy. A school teacher asked a classroom of children the following. He said, "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" There was a long silence before one small boy said, "Please, sir, I didn't." Later in that day in the staff room, the teacher recounted the incident to the headmaster and he said, "Do you know what happened in my classroom today? I asked who knocked down the walls of Jericho and that boy Smith said, 'Please, sir, I didn't.'" The headmaster replied, "Well, I've known Smith some years and I know his family. They're a good family. If he says he didn't do it, I'm sure he didn't do it." The headmaster later reported that the boy's answer to a visiting school, he later reported the boy's answer to a visiting school inspector whose response was as follows: "It's probably too late to find out who did it. Let's just get them repaired and send the bill to us." See, a big joke. I mean, who doesn't know who knocked down the walls of Jericho? So I'm going to talk about that guy this morning. I'm just going to read three verses to you, and I trust that you would be encouraged by this man, Joshua. Because if you read the life of Joshua and you see what Joshua accomplished just after he had this encounter with the Lord, what happened? A miracle happened. The impossible happened. Amen. And I believe all of us have called to do what Joshua did. If God says you need to go into the promised land, you need to take the promised land. Doesn't matter what's going to take, whether walls have to fall down, whether giants have to be slain. It doesn't matter. But this is what God is calling all of us to do. Amen. God is calling us to do, and I know this church, and I know the leaders of this church, Andre and Sonica, have got a heart to see God being glorified, to see miracles happen, to see people's lives change, to see the kingdom of God come. Isn't that so? I know it. I can sense it. And I know some of you guys are also starting to pick this up, that the kingdom must come. God must reign. But let's look at what God said to Joshua, because Joshua did the impossible. But Joshua was ready and Joshua was now about to go in, and suddenly he has this incredible encounter. Verse 13 of Joshua chapter 5. Just three verses this morning. just want to leave you with this thought this morning. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And so he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshipped, and he said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. The first thing I want to look at this morning, the first characteristic, I believe, of God's end time army, and it's the characteristic of this leader, because I believe when as the leader, you know, so goes, as the leader goes, so goes the house. Isn't that so? If you're a man here this morning, as you go, so goes your house. Amen. As you go, so goes your wife. Your wife and your kids will reflect you as a leader. And same if you're a mother, you know, you're a leader in some, you're leading your children as well. As the leader goes, so goes the rest. And so I believe as the leader's heart is, so goes the rest. And I believe Joshua had a certain heart here, which was imparted. Just as we heard this morning, there's an impartation that happens when we encounter the greatness of God. And so there was an impartation. The first thing that was happened was when Joshua, he was ready, and Joshua had this impartation even before this encounter. Joshua was a man, if you look at Joshua chapter 1, what is, there's one word that stands out in Joshua chapter 1. Anyone know what that word is? Be courageous. Courage. Courage is one characteristic, because yeah, Joshua is, and he was full of courage, full of determination. He was ready to fight this battle, and suddenly he has this frightening experience. This massive guy standing there with his sword drawn. And Joshua is thinking, "I'm going to go take this guy." Joshua doesn't stand back. Joshua doesn't back off and think, "Oh, let me wait for tomorrow." Rather, he's like, "I'm ready to fight now. Are you, who are you? Are you our enemy? Are you with us?" Whatever. But Joshua has courage. Isn't that so? Joshua has an amazing courage. He doesn't back off, and he has the boldness to take up this challenge. And I believe when we have courage and determination in the kingdom of God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to discover who God really is. So we look at that now, but I believe God is calling an army of courageous people to start to stand up. Because guess what, guys? It's not going to get easier. Circumstances are not going to get easier. Sometimes we're hoping that God changes circumstances, that God changes this nation. You know what he's saying? Circumstances might even get worse. In fact, they probably are going to get worse. Because when the enemy comes in, things get worse. But guess what? The Spirit of God is with us, and he takes courageous people, and he makes us overcome. And he makes us take the battle full on, head on. So I really believe our faith is part of that. If we don't have faith, we're not going to have courage. Okay, you cannot have courage if you don't have faith. And guess what the devil is at? The devil is at our faith. He wants to steal our faith in who? In God. Not our faith in ourselves or our faith in our gifts or our faith in our abilities, but our faith in a great God who is good and is for us, and he wants to bless us and he wants to use us. So God is calling an army of courageous people. And I don't know about you, but I read the scripture in Romans 4 the other day, and it just stood out with me. And I just want to read it. It's not on the screen there, but it talks about Abraham. It says, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, it says. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You know, when we have faith and when we have courage and when we have determination, you know what we do? We give glory to God. When we do what he says, when we believe, if he says the impossible is possible, then we must start to believe that even when we see an impossible situation, it's an opportunity for God to move. And I'm excited because I believe in the end times now we're going to see more impossible situations. We're going to see people who are dying, and we're going to say, "Lord, we trust you to raise these people from the dead or to heal them before they die. Or even if they die, we trust you, God. If it's your will, and your will is life. So we trust you for the impossible to happen." And there might be impossible situations in your family right now. Maybe you're relationally, you're so strained. Or maybe your relationship with your kids is strained. It looks impossible. It looks like they're disobedient or they're just not following. And then you say, "God, I surrender. I trust you. I'm courageous. I'm fighting this battle in the spirit. I'm going to see. I'm not going to back off and allow the devil to come and steal from me any longer. I want to see the impossible happen in my family, in my life." It's so easy to live by the natural. It's so easy to live by what we see. But the Bible says we're not called to live by sight. We're called to live courageously. And one guy in the London conference, he talked about the shield. He said, our shield of faith is not only a shield of defense. In fact, it's a shield of attack. It's in the old days, the Roman shields had this sharp thing at the front of them. And the guy used to actually knock the people out like that and then slay them with the sword. The shield was actually a shield of attack as well as a shield of defense. And I believe we need to have aggressive faith. I believe we need to have courageous faith. We need to have a faith that will overcome. Amen. A courageous, determined, resilient faith. An army of courageous soldiers is standing up. And I remember one guy was just talking there. The theme that came through in London a lot was this thing of faith and this thing of courage and determination. And one guy preached this one morning, an Argentinian guy, with his daughter translating, and it was just so incredible. And the Spirit of God just came over me. I just was weeping there because I said, God, I know this is what I need for this battle that we're facing. This is what I need. Because at times in the ministry, it's not easy. You can ask your pastor. You want to run away sometimes. You want to do the easy life. And you know, sometimes we have to come to East London, you know, to the coast for the easy life. You know, Bloemfontein is tough. We don't see the sea, you know. But the battle is on. The battle for souls, the battle even within church many times is on at the moment. People are getting offended, and I'm just saying, you know what? God wants us to be courageous. God wants people to be courageous, people in church, because we're all in the ministry, isn't it so? If you don't have a thick skin, I want to tell you, you know, ask God today to give you a thick skin, to give you a courageous skin that you won't be easily offended. You won't be easily affected by people. God wants to give us courage and strength. Amen. And I believe there's people here this morning. The Lord showed me there's someone you've maybe been close to offended, even in this church, or maybe it's your past, but it's like your skin is almost thin and you're so vulnerable at the moment. And the Lord says He wants to give you like a thick skin. He wants to coat you with that resilience and that courage to push through. So if that's you this morning, I want you just to respond to Jesus and say, Jesus, give me that courage because I'm part of your army. I want to be a courageous soldier. I don't want to be a soldier that's easily going to be battered around and knocked to and fro by what people say and by what circumstances say. But an army of courageous soldiers is rising up. Amen? Going to have an amen? Second one. So yeah, Joshua goes. Let's read that. So he said, and now Joshua is encountering this amazing guy. He doesn't know who this is because if he's for him, he better get him on his side. And if it's against him, he better kill him now because he'll probably kill the whole of his army if he doesn't take him on. And Joshua is so courageous, but he asks a question. Joshua has courage to ask a question. Who are you? Are you for us or against us? And guess what the answer is? None of them. No. Imagine that you ask a question, you get the answer, no. It's like, okay, but I asked you, you know, which what? No. And he says to Joshua, this is who I am. I am the commander of the army of heaven. You see, I believe if we have this faith, if we have this courage, you know, we can really know who God is, who Jesus Christ is. And I believe we've also got to know Jesus Christ, not only as the friend of sinners, not only as our Savior and our healer and our deliverer, but we've got to know Jesus like Joshua met him for the first time. Joshua realized that he's not in control anymore. He who Joshua is not in control. There's someone so much greater. And he's just part of this army. And guess what? Guess what happens? So Joshua asked this question. He says, no, I'm the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts. What happens? Joshua falls on his face to the ground. He has this encounter and he realizes who he's dealing with. This is not someone who's for him or against him. This is the guy who's in control of the universe. Isn't that amazing? And what is his response? He can only respond through this, falling on his face, and he doesn't even do anything else. He doesn't go to his knees slowly like this and then, well, maybe I'll worship. You know, I'll never forget when I first came into Shofar. I was freaked out by these oaks, okay? Andre was one of them. They were going around. They were radical for Jesus. I was just like a good little boy in the res there, you know. And I saw these guys. They had joy on their faces. They were passionate. But I came into the church for the first time, and I used to sit like right at the back, like even, you know, like worse than those guys up there. No, I mean, joking. But like, I would sit like in the balcony far back, okay, and I was on my own. And then I wouldn't want to jump into this river. I was just so like, the word is good, but this worship is weird, like lifting hands and jumping and flags and dancing. No, this is not for me. But the word was good. So I'll just come for the word and I'll leave again. And still someone said to me, just come down. You know, you mustn't sit at the top. They said, so you guys must come down. Like, I'm only joking. You can sit wherever you want. But I was so on my own. I came down, and for the first time, I sat in the chairs where everyone was, like, probably third or fourth row from the front. There was this guy next to me, and he was just worshiping. A guy I knew, I kind of went with him because I didn't know a lot of people. And this lifting of hands thing was just so weird for me. It's like, and I was like, you know, you sort of start like that, and then you wonder how you're looking, and, you know, you're not focusing at all. It's all about how you feel. Is it half hand or how, or like this, or... And I'm looking at the guy next to me, and his hand's almost in my face, and I'm like, you know. And so you realize, and then you're so focused on, is it hands or legs, or how, you know, how is she worship? And then you realize it's about everything. Amen. It's not lifting the hands and using your body is not worship in itself. It's to say to God, God, yes, my whole being. Body, mind, mouth. Legs, everything. Yes, here I am, God. And so it took me a while to lift my hands and to surrender totally. But once I jumped into that river, once I surrendered, God just took me and I got baptized and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And never forget the first time I stood up on a stage to preach. Phoned my dad that next week and said, Dad, this is what I'm made for. I was an engineer at the time. You know, God calls engineers. Amen. And engineers don't surrender easily, especially if you're like a boxy type of person like me. It takes a while. But God can use anyone. If I can surrender, anyone can surrender. Because I was so in control and still am many times. So in control. God's calling us all to surrender like Joshua. Falling on our faces. And saying, God, it's not about the act I do. It's about everything I do. An army of worshipers. See, when Joshua recognized the fullness of God, all he could do was worship. There was no more self involved. No more, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm ready for this battle. I'm courageous now. Because you see, many times we can have great faith. We can be courageous. And then we're at a good place. Because guess what happens then? Then surrender happens. Then surrender. Then true surrender happens. Then we see the commander of the army and we realize we're not the commander anymore. Because many times we're even in a position, and even as pastors, many times you think you're the commander, and many pastors think I'm the commander, I'm in control of this army. And then God says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Who's the true commander? And we can lose focus, and then we need to worship. And what is worship? What is the type of worship God is seeking? It's not a natural worship, it's a supernatural response. Because he didn't have time to think. He just fell on his face and surrendered. What is the worship God is seeking? First of all, worship with our bodies or our actions. Everything we do, is it from a true heart or does it have a form of religion on it still? Is it a form of godliness and denying the power of God? Is your every action worship? I want you to think about what you do every single day. Think about what you do every single day. Is that worship? Is your work worship unto God? Think about your actions and write it down now and say, God, everything I do, I want to worship you with this. It's not coming to church. It's not only singing a song. Then secondly, worship with our mouths, which means everything we say. Is everything you say worship unto God? I know for me, no. Because many times we're saying things about people. We're saying things about other people, other churches, or even unbelievers. We say so much junk. But what do you say? Does it worship the Lord? That's why we need to consecrate our bodies and our actions. We need to consecrate our mouths. And guess what happened? Joshua immediately spoke to the Lord. His mouth was like, God, what do I do for you? When he was lying on the floor in worship, he suddenly says, what does your servant say? I mean, what does my Lord say to his servant? And he immediately spoke to the Lord and he said something quite significant, and we'll get to that now. And then lastly, worship with our thoughts, because that's where your actions and your words start, with your thoughts. So an army of worshipers is busy rising up, and God wants to speak to us. Worship isn't about Sunday singing songs. It's about everything you do. Is it passionate, and is it for the glory of God? I loved Ruan Kombrink's testimony yesterday when he was given the man of the match. Anyone watched the Springboks? Any rugby supporters here? I know we don't want to make such a big thing about rugby, okay? Don't. It gets you upset when your team loses. Then you have to repent afterwards. But I loved the comeback. What a comeback. But I loved what Ruan Kombrink said. He didn't say, "I give glory to God." He said, I give glory to Jesus Christ. I just so loved it afterwards. He was given man of the match in his debut test. And he said, "You know, I just want to glorify my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he gives me the strength." What an amazing, in front of thousands of people, people are watching on the TV, giving glory to Jesus Christ. And when you see how he plays, you realize he's living for the glory of God. He's far from perfect. And I'm sure he makes mistakes, and I'm sure he gets proud and arrogant at times, I guess, like most rugby guys do. But like most of us do, isn't that so? When we're good at something, we're just not in the limelight. When we're good at something, we also tend to glorify ourselves, tend to promote ourselves at times. But you see, God's looking for an army of worshipers. Like soldiers identified by their uniform, God is looking for an army of soldiers identified by their worship. And that's not singing a song. Singing a song is just part of it. In fact, surrender, yeah, on a Sunday is part of saying, "God, my whole week, I surrender it to you. I surrender my work to you. I surrender my thoughts to you. I surrender everything to you." An army of worshiping soldiers. Can I have an amen? It's quiet in this place. And then lastly, what did Joshua do? The commander of the Lord's army says to him, "Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you stand is holy." There's a place of encounter. There's a place where you realize that God is wanting to speak to you. And Joshua obeyed. Joshua took his sandals off his feet. And I want to say that that small step of obedience led to a huge army not saying a word for 7 days, doing exactly what God told Joshua to do. Because Joshua didn't tell them to do that. God said, "This is what you must do. 6 days, once around, and the seventh day, 7 times around. You don't say a word." I think that's quite a miracle. An army of mighty people, you know, I'm sure all of them strong, a lot of them strong characters, wanting to say stuff, wanting to say their opinions, wanting to, you know, and God just said, "This is what you do." But I believe it took an obedience from each person. I believe it took an encounter from each person where they realized, you know what? Whatever God says now, we're going to do. But it started with Joshua, where he took his sandal off his foot just because that's what God said. It seems weird. Why? Are my sandals dirty? No, but God just says so. And I believe it represents us taking off the flesh. I believe it represents us not doing stuff that we always think is right, but taking off the stuff, the old life many times, taking off the flesh, taking off our own efforts, because there's holy ground. But that small step of obedience led to the whole army shouting at once, and the walls came down, supernatural intervention, because there was an army of obedient soldiers. I believe God is calling us to fight in the spirit and not in the flesh, and to take off our sandals, to take off any old stuff, any stuff we've even relied on, and say, "God, I'm coming before you surrendered." Because why? There's holy ground here. There's a place of holy ground. You see, it's called godliness. It's called where Christ starts to become formed in us. Isn't that so? Because obedience is just the fruit of godliness. It's the fruit of a relationship where we remain committed to our commander. We remain committed and loyal to the commander of our army, Jesus Christ. And we love him above all else. So what are his commands to us? It's very simple. Sometimes we make his commands so complicated. His commands are to love him and to love people. Isn't that so? And you know how we love people? We start to build relationship with them. We start to take an interest in their lives. And then we lead them ultimately to the love of their lives. The only one who can love them perfectly. Because guess what? We cannot love people perfectly. And I've tried to do it. You know, I've tried to be a good person. You know, you're going to be so nice and lead someone to Christ. And, you know, try to connect as best you can. And, you know, our efforts are only so good. But when we've surrendered, when we say, God, I just want to love you first of all, because loving people should always flow out of a love for God. If we're not loving people from a love for God, we're going to love them almost to hell, because we're going to love them in our own flesh. And it's not going to be the full truth. So loving people, we need to start to pray for them, amen? And I know this is a praying church. I know you've got a praying pastor. But I think we all need to start to pray for people. Pray for people, then serve people, build relationship. And I loved what you guys did. The generosity thing is awesome. Start to serve people. Stop, but don't do it like when Andre and Sonica say do it. You know, don't do it when it's just a church thing. Do it as a lifestyle. And I trust that seed that has been sown in your lives will become a lifestyle where you'll be at a restaurant and you'll just start to serve people and start to love people. And then to build relationship and then introduce them to the one who can save them, the one who can rescue them from the hold of the enemy. But you see, we can only do this by the Spirit. We can only do this when we realize that we're actually on holy ground all the time. And God's just saying, take off the efforts, take off the striving, take off the old life. Just start to walk in the Spirit. Because He's got a calling for each one of you. He's got a calling for each and every one of you. Amen. And that's what I love. One of my passions is to see people fulfill the calling of God upon their lives. And I don't know what God is saying to you right now, but I believe He's starting to speak to you. And I prayed for you guys, and I believe that He's starting to speak to you about you've been called for so much greater than just to do your job every day. You've been called for so much more than just to even come to church every week and tick the church box. You've been called for a life of abundance. A life where you can make a difference in people's lives. It was amazing on the train coming back the one night from London, the last night. Andre had already flown. I wish he was there with me. But I had an opportunity. I'm sitting there with three people, and they've just come from they've done a gig now. And so I can see they've got instruments. And I just asked them, you know, yeah, I see you guys have probably been at a gig. And yeah, they, you know, started to just engage. And then, you know, this is an opportunity. And so they asked me what I do, and so I used the same line that one of the preachers used at the conference. He says when he sits next to people, you know, he doesn't want to tell them immediately what he is, because then people close up, you know. So I said, you know, I work for this massive global organization. You know, we've got outlets all over the world. He was like, sure, sounds great, you know. I said, yeah, no. And what do you do? I said, no, we change lives, you know. We make a difference. We serve people and we bless people. And we know, sure, what's that? I said, it's called the church. Have you heard of it? and then you know, and then the immediate answer is, I'm not a religious person. I said, well, I'm not either. And so then you have these comments. Then you just know that the atmosphere is thin. But you've started to make. And then I just said, you guys have got a calling on your lives. You know that we just yet to you know, survive, and one guy said, no, we'll die and then come back as something else, you know, so he's looking forward to that life. And you know, and then there's just, you know, the people there are like so far from, and you just start to say, you know what, you've been created for a purpose. And you just tell them the truth, and you can see there's resistance, but you can also see they're starting to think there must be something more. There must be something more than just this life. Lots of people know there's a different life. They just don't know what does the different life look like. And it's going to be scary if they don't see the true life. So our purpose is to witness to people. Our purpose is to make a difference. I mean, to change the world. And so I'm starting to, with our church, I'm starting to think, you know, starting to discover what are we really called for. And I realize in Bloemfontein, we're called to send people into the world. Our vision is to make disciples, and you know, we've got our vision statement as Shofar, but I realize specifically for us, we're called to send people into the world, to change the world, but they must become followers of Christ. Because there's lots of people trying to change the world, but are they followers of Christ? So I've come up with a slogan, and I believe it's for you guys as well, to send followers of Christ to change the world. And you know what? You are one of those as well. If you're a follower of Christ, I want to say he wants to send you to change the world. And if you've got to go to the Free State, then just contact me. If you're coming to the Free State, then we'll slot you in there. You know, if you get sent from here, just pray about Bloemfontein first, you know. any Free Staters in the house, yeah? And anyone from Bloemfontein or from the Free State? Kwaba. Not many people. Hello, Marnay. It's like I'm here to see. But, you know, we're not called for comfort, guys. We're called to be courageous, worshiping, obedient soldiers. And we're called to surrender to His holiness. And so I want the band to come forward this morning. We're gonna just pray. I'm going to pray for you guys. See, we've got a great high priest to set the perfect example for us. And that's the good news. The bad news this morning is we cannot be courageous. We cannot be a worshiper. We cannot be obedient as we are, okay? We just cannot. But we've got a great high priest. And if you see the example he set to us, he was always courageous to serve and please his Father in heaven. Amen. Jesus Christ is the most courageous person that's ever lived. He pleased his commander. Second, he had a lifestyle of worship by bringing glory to God in everything he did. Nothing he did not glorify the Father. Just think about that. Everything Jesus Christ did glorified his Father in heaven. He was a worshiper. He was a perfect worshiper. Didn't necessarily lead worship with a guitar and have a beautiful voice. He probably did. But that wasn't his worship. His worship was everything he did. He brought glory to his Father in heaven. And lastly, he was obedient to the point of death, the Bible says, even death on a cross. Amen. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that's why he's been given the name above every other name. He's been given the name, the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts. The commander of the armies of heaven. Because he was a courageous soldier, he was a worshiping soldier, and he was an obedient soldier. And you know what? That same DNA can be imparted to each one of us. We have a high priest that can identify with us. He was tempted just as we are. He had the struggles of this life just as we are. Yet he didn't sin. So I believe he's calling us to be at that same place of courage, same place of faith, and same place where we surrender everything and we say, Jesus, I'm living for you. I want to be a history maker. I want to be part of your end time army.